Welcome to AMD Tech Talk, your source for the latest in data center innovation and insight on AMD's latest technology breakthroughs. And now here's your host, Jim Green.
Thanks for listening today. Our guest is Ravi Kuppaswamy, Corporate Vice President of the AMD Server Solutions Group. Ravi, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here, Jim.
Can you give us a quick bio on yourself and, your role at AMD?
Thank you. I joined AMD about 2 years ago, and I run the Server Solutions Group, which is essentially the server product and engineering responsibilities for the EPYC roadmap. Yeah, prior to this, I spent 26 years at Intel, where I did product development across their client, data center CPUs, ASICs, GPUs, and FPGAs as well.
Excellent. Thanks. So you've seen a lot in your time here. So tell me, in terms of what's going on now, what would you say are the three biggest happenings or topics that you hear about when you're engaging customers and, partners across enterprise and cloud markets today?
There is a continued growing an awareness of AMD as a true compelling alternative to Intel. And in some sense, you can think about it as it started from a true 0% market segment share not too long ago to 30%+ today. The energy efficiency is not only highly valued, but is a clear differentiator for AMD. The EPYC roadmap is truly separated from Intel in this regard, and we have solid performance leadership. There's a growing interest in AI. It's a broad discussion, and in some sense, customers are looking for guidance given the immense possibilities. And things are happening so fast here across a wide array of tools and devices that includes GPUs, CPUs, frameworks, etc., that customers are seeking advice and guidance from trusted partners all over.
Yeah, I mean, you really do have to kind of turn over every rock in this industry when it comes to where innovation is happening. And obviously, AMD has delivered our share of that. When it comes to the AI discussion you just mentioned, a lot of the top of mind thought, you know, naturally goes to the GPU vendors with their sky-high stock pricing and some of the massive high-profile AI projects such as OpenAI's ChatGPT or Google Gemini or the engines behind Microsoft Copilot, for example. Is that where the broad base of our business customers' mindset is at, or are they focused elsewhere?
Sure. Everybody focuses first on the big news and marvels about the projects that make us big news. But once if you remove the fluff and we get down to the really interesting discussions of scenarios and how businesses can really utilize AI innovations in real world processes, it will become clear that there are multiple domains in which we have customers operating. Through customer discussions, we have seen that there is a myriad real, usually much smaller and equally interesting AI initiatives going on in businesses around the globe for every mega ChatGPT example that you have. Mm-hmm. AI techniques are being added into everyday applications. Businesses know and love the tools that they run the business today. Databases, CRMs, manufacturing control tools, engineering test and design clusters, etc. AI is really enhancing value and the productivity of all of these systems today. But I do want to say that, you know, in summary, you should think of it as there are big domains where people are going to be looking at these massive GPUs, and there are going to be medium and small workloads where they're going to find CPUs extremely interesting as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to your point, in many of our podcasts, as we talk with ISV partners, the number of, whether it's an engineering app or a collaboration app, the fact that they're adding AI modules on top of what they do to improve the efficiency of their solution or to extend the solution, it's really been super interesting to see how those are evolving. And yes, it's basically infiltrating right on top of the infrastructure they have today. So in terms of how this changes everything, do we see, you know, you mentioned that these things are percolating throughout the enterprise here. Are these installations rolling in racks of GPU to handle all this? Or as you mentioned, there's kind of a you know, not a one size fits all, that there are going to be multiple ways that people solve their AI efficiency challenges.
That's exactly right, Jim. There are going to be the people who use racks and racks of GPUs, but the really interesting point is it defies a lot of expectations given the AI hype. But in reality, it should not be surprising that much. A lot of this AI enablement is happening on existing x86 CPU server infrastructure, but it's also impacting how IT is deploying and managing this infrastructure. Let's talk about both, and let's start with the infrastructure bit, okay? Many companies today are at near limits of the power that they use or the space that they use. And with the average age of servers being about 5 to 7 years in many places, these data centers are largely filled with older, inefficient systems. So customers are finding that they can replace racks of these old energy guzzlers with much smaller, more efficient installations, dense energy-efficient servers. They find that the cost, energy, and square footage savings really frees up the resources for innovation. With AI, one of the top interests, meaning what I want to say is workload consolidation is going to free up room in the data center for AI. But the other change is not quite noticeable physically, but it's rolling in like the tide. The application businesses use every day are being AI enabled with tools for language processing, expert and recommendation functions, extensions for machine learning to import, you know, the export of data and import of data. And these are often software upgrades and enhancements that overlay naturally and run right on top of the high performance EPYC infrastructure that customers have always valued for their performance and productivity advantages. Just so you know, I recently saw a good article in the CIO magazine that really rolled out a pretty comprehensive set of data points that helped tell a more balanced tale of real enterprise readiness and plans. Yes, there's a lot of hype, but we are actually really at the front edge of this wave, and much is happening on infrastructure that IT folks already have.
So in terms of infrastructure they already have, can we talk about, there is a role for GPUs, right? We already mentioned this. What's the role of the GPU and the CPU as you look at that installed infrastructure that you know and love and already have, but perhaps you need a bit more, perhaps you're getting more advanced than, you know, some of the classical machine learning and inferencing and small models. When you go a little bit bigger, what's the next step there?
No, thank you, Jim. That's the point I'm trying to really get at. We talked a little bit about workload consolidation, but in reality, you're going to find a spectrum of workloads: small, medium, and large workloads. Okay, if you were to look at this model and break it down, you can clearly we know the large workloads where you have large language models like ChatGPT, etc. Truly use GPUs and have become extremely, extremely popular. But you still need x86 CPU to be what you would call as for pre-processing and post-processing of the data that the GPU is actually handling. And I believe that it's a combination of an EPYC CPU along with the GPU that is going to handle these, large language models, okay? And then when you look at these smaller, medium-sized workloads, you're going to find that the CPU is going to play a more, I want to call it, a direct role in inferencing and training that essentially makes it the central point of compute, not only because of the fact that it is well-equipped to do it, but it's also because the costs of a large-scale GPU is going to be an overkill for these kind of small and medium models. And in those cases, you're going to find that the EPYC CPU, along with a general-purpose compute, is going to do this AI compute. So in a mixed workload model case, you're going to find the sweet spot to be right in the center of an x86 EPYC CPU doing it.
Great, great point. At the risk of oversimplification, the net here could be that not a lot really needs to change for IT once they get a foothold in AI, or is there really something more to it?
I don't think change is inevitable, right? We know that, you know, the cliche being the fact that if something really changed, the one thing that's definitely going to change in a lot of sense It is often not a requirement to begin the journey once resources are available. We've seen that. But as implementations grow in scale and complexity and grow more demanding, for example, requiring more real-time, lower latency experiences, growing into tens of billions of parameters, et cetera, customers will likely see optimal, efficient solutions to meet their business needs more closely. Some of them are going to find, as I was telling you earlier, are going to find that they're in the really large space and they're going to scale up and build their infrastructure to meet that. And then there are going to be others who are going to find their sweet spot is going to be something in the small and medium workloads that really helps their business. At the end of the day, one needs to understand that the customer's requirements and their workloads is the ultimate determination of what hardware or what acceleration they're really going to go ahead and use. The largest, most demanding AI workloads will require GPUs, and AMD is committed to delivering leadership GPUs to meet this challenge. But we will also have like the small and medium workloads where EPYC servers will be the best possible host for accommodating and driving essentially the acceleration required in that space.
Excellent. Thanks, Ravi. It seems to me that the evolution of the EPYC journey that you described earlier here is in the server market from zero to hero type approach and the maturation of AI are in a lot of ways parallel. Do you see any parallels there between the two?
Absolutely. I think AI is one of those things that people have been saying it's coming. And it was once very esoteric and very few people really understood it. I think now is when it's truly mainstream. Those that experience it have embraced it early and grew with it. And we'd like to think the earliest customers that adopted EPYC as a platform of choice for HPC and other demanding workloads similarly help cement our foundation for growth. As we demonstrated these capabilities and values in performance and efficiency into the broader market segments. You know, this journey has been fun and challenging. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I think it's just beginning. We're going to find that markets are going to evolve. It's going to go ahead and they're going to have a better understanding of what they need. And I think our AMD's CPUs and GPUs are going to be in the forefront and center in being part of this, I want to call it, really fun-filled, adventurous ride to come.
Okay, to wrap up, Ravi, without spilling any secrets here, do you have any parting words related to what's to come? What should the audience be looking for in the next year or two in terms of the confluence of business and AI?
That's a great question. Like you said, without spilling any of the beans, let me just say that AMD is going to have a really compelling AI roadmap. It is going to have some extremely high-performant, high-energy-efficient CPUs that are going to help workload consolidation, run key inference workloads in small and medium workloads, and be an awesome head node for the GPU-centric workloads. At the same way, AMD is going to have an extremely high-performant GPU roadmap that is going to be a big part of accelerating these large, I want to call it large language models, you know, high parameter models. And these are all going to be integrated with some high bandwidth, tight fabric connections that's going to make our customers' workloads really, really shine. I, for one, am really excited about our roadmap and what we can do it for the AI journey we're all going to take together.
Well, it's great to see the roadmap and the execution to said roadmap to continue to manifest. So Ravi, thanks. This has been a great discussion. I really appreciate you sharing your insights with us today.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me. And it was great to share some of what I believe is going to be an awesome ride for all of us together.
And thanks to our audience for listening as we talk tech. Until next time.
Thanks for joining AMD Tech Talk. Find out more about the technologies discussed today at www.amd.com.